Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Interesting week, to say the least, huh? Here we go. With the market going crazy down to start the week, and then suddenly rips higher. On what news? No news. In fact, the news this week was terrible. Inflation's coming back. People won't get a job. Why would you if the government pays you to stay at home? And frankly, you haven't been working for a year. You're kind of used to it. It's not like you're missing some social circle. You haven't been working. Literally, millions of people haven't been working for the past year. And now they're going to go to work for approximately what they are making staying at home tax-free. Joe has made sure that that is the case. That's the news. And the market rips higher. And we say, okay, why is this happening? Again, I go back to the basics. Quit listening to the news and the doomsdayers every single day, ripping on one thought after the other. Wild runaway inflation on the horizon. You've got to own gold or Bitcoin or whatever it is. That's never going to be the same in America. We're just printing money. It's all done. And we miss the basic thing. We are reopening. That's it. That's all that really matters to the economy, to how many iPhones are going to be sold, how many people are going to take a trip. This thing is getting done. And the best news this week, honestly, if you want to sit and talk about how bad the Biden administration is doing and all the bad news, is that there was bad news. Maybe they'll slow this down. That's my other takeaway. It's basically reopening. That's the underlying economic thing. But if it slows down the crazy policies, this is not bad. It's not bad at all. We have to keep this in mind as we sit around and we debate in our minds where we're going as a country, where we're going with the markets, where we're going as a world economy. And again, think this through. World economy. Do you really think that the, quotes, Brazilian whatever or Indian whatever derivative of the virus, what am I trying to say here? Doesn't matter. You know what I mean. It is not just there. It's all over. It's out of control in India. Brazil's struggling. And we're taking off the mask. Europe will be soon. The world is reopening. It's a global economy. I know, you can just fill in the blank, read the newspaper today, and tell me the 10 reasons why the market's going to tank, just like you did 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 points ago. It doesn't take a tremendous amount of belief. All it takes is history. We figure it out, we move forward, and bunches of people will talk about the end of the world over and over and over and over again. And for some reason, they keep getting a microphone. and we wind up moving higher. Yeah, but what about inflation? Yep, it's on the way. It's here. It's already here. Is it going to take us out? Is it transitory, meaning? That's the big word for the Fed because it sounds really cool, I think. But what it really means is that as we transition through this period, it won't be there on the other side. It's just because we do have supply chain problems. And we do. We shut down the world. We voluntarily took a gun and shot ourselves in the head. Now, it didn't save, I don't think it saved any lives, but that's a different thing. It's what we did. And so it killed the economy globally. We are moving forward from that. We will be. It takes time. Supply chains will be fixed. Those are the things that people continue to talk about as if we are not going to be able to unload a ship that's sitting in a harbor in LA. We'll never figure that out. We'll never get that ship out of the Suez Canal. Oh, it's already done. All of these things are, we act like we can't solve. It's a crisis. We've never seen this high of prices in lumber and copper. And you're right. There's too much money in the world. It's 27% money supply growth in the past 12 months. That's a problem. So I don't think it's transitory at all. I'm not poo-pooing inflation. It's a real concern. And in the second hour, I'll talk about that in much more detail. But this idea that we never solve problems, that whatever is right in our face is there forever, is always wrong. And the beard tugging, lean into the microphone, scrunch your nose and frown your eyebrows and talk about all the problems in the world. Those bears, those serious thinking bears, they're never right. And they keep rolling back. They keep coming back. And it infects us, it affects us, it kills our ability to invest every time. No confidence. Instead of seeing a couple-day sell-off as, aha, I can get in, and some of those tech stocks are down 10, 15, 20%, and they just did earnings, and they were record high. Massive amounts of cash flow. They dominate the world. Oh, I don't want to own them. It could get worse. And boom, market goes higher. Yeah, I can't buy now. There's no bargains out there. Market's too high. And we lump it all together. We talk about companies as if it's the whole market. Like this one company over here, GameStop, way too high. That must be it. That's it. Market's too high. Oh, Bitcoin. Nobody even knows what it is. Dogecoin or Dogecoin, whatever it is. Oh, my gosh. The whole market. We all try to lump it together, like life's so easy, and you are like a white guy, age X, and so you fit in this nice box. I don't feel that way about me or others I know. We're complex. So's the market. All things are. We lump things together. All Republicans are X. All Democrats are Y. That's incredibly naive. We can't box the market, people, parties, anything. There are different companies doing vastly different things at different points of the life cycle. Tech stocks killed it last year. What were they up? It's 80, 90% for the year. It's ridiculous numbers. Some of them were up 400 or 500% more. Well, we know, you know, Carnival Cruise Lines and others didn't do well. Things are rotating. But we want to lump it all together as the market. And as I continue to say over and over to try to drive this point home, where else are we going to put money? Yeah, cash. Yeah, I believe inflation is coming back, so I want what, cash? It already earns zero, minus the inflation rate, which prior to now was really low, so you only lost a little money every year. Great strategy, that is. Now we're going to lose a lot of money every year? Yeah, I don't think so. Bonds are the worst thing possible, inflation. Real estate does okay, but it's not liquid. We're not going to move trillions and trillions of dollars overnight to that. So stocks continue to get money flows. Why not? They yield more than a 10-year treasury. They have growth. Historically, they're the best investment on the planet by far. Nothing's close. But we want to go ahead and treat it like some kind of casino game. You know, I think GameStop's worth 10 bucks. It's crazy. We sometimes lose sight of that. Let's not. The hardest, easiest game there is. The average person gets rich in the stock market. The average person. I don't know, Dave. What about this? What about that? I read about this and blah, blah, blah. I know. And it's really easy to just say, "Ah, you're just a Pollyanna. That's fine." It's easier if we put people in the box to discard what they say instead of learning from it. I don't know what the market's going to do next week, next year. Never have. Been doing this for 40 years, 35 on air. I've never known. But the market over time keeps going higher. All my life, my parents' lives, my grandparents' lives, and on. It seems the weirdest thing that we can't learn that lesson. And we focus on a couple bad days here and there. Incredible. All right, I got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. All right, I want to talk a little bit about inflation and some of the concerns in the next hour, but right now let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jim. Jim, thanks for holding.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Good morning. Good, Jim. Thank you.
Well, you had mentioned with Kevin you didn't understand the value of fabric currency, Bitcoin, all that stuff. Well, you can go back into history, and we both know that neither fabric coin or gold does anything, right? Okay, for some reason, since day one, value has been put on gold. And a lot of Indians bit the dirt due to, you know, the Spaniards, you know, fighting for gold. So anyway, I mean, gold is about the same thing. There's no utility in gold. It just sits there. And another thing, you mentioned at the end of the talking to Kevin, that they're sending out money to everybody to buy votes that maybe, but then you said, but will people actually get out and vote? Now, that is a rub. That is the problem. People don't get out and vote anymore. You know, and they'll use the pandemic as an excuse that they have to. They'll send the ballot to everything alive and dead. And when Jennifer and Tom were pinch hitting for you one day, I mean, I was doing my anti-technology thing, and both of them came up with the word convenience, you know. Well, we now have the convenience to vote without getting our butts off the couch, but there's no security whatsoever. So
right.
Those are my points, you know.
No, it's very true. We do have an issue in this country with people getting involved. But I think it's deeper than just actually voting. How about actually understanding the issues, what they mean to the country in the long term? I'm amazed at how we live so long, think such short term. That's really where we're at right now. And it's disappointing, to say the least.
Well, you think, I mean, people did used to worry about the next generation. Now, I think us baby boomers, we were the start of the downfall because we got spoiled right after World War II. And we, you know, it was the me generation. You know, we don't really give a damn. And now, our mistake was reproducing. And so now we're about three or four generations down the way. And also, people don't see a lot of hope in the future. So they're saying, ah, what the hell, live for today.
That's right. All right, Jim, thank you for your call. All right, everybody, here's some music. We're out of here for 5 minutes of news. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming. Stick around. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two upcoming, and once again, these are my opinions only. They're not this station, anybody's broker-dealer, anything like that. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. Let's not play that game. It's silly. It really is. We act like this beautiful thing called the capital markets, which has made every American wealthy beyond belief. And I mean all of them. I know. We like to play the comparison game because we don't live as well as the guy on the hill with the helicopter that comes to his house, right? So we're not really rich. But reality is, this has been amazing. And we turn it into a game like it's a casino. Instead of the greatest wealth creation mechanism in all of history, that the average person can become financially independent. Yeah, for a few bucks a month. Almost seems made up. Really does. Can you hang on for a minute here? I want to talk a little bit about inflation and then we'll get to your call, okay? You know, it's interesting to me. We get these headlines. Just constant beating of negative headlines. Inflation's here, and so then you have all the doomsdayers run with it because now we've got stuff to put in an article. I don't understand. We always have to gravitate to the negative. Always. Always. It's like you're just irrational. You're not really a deep thinker if you're actually, like, optimistic about the future. And I always like to say the only realism is optimism. And it is. But we look at this all the time so negative. Inflation is bad. Yeah, it's bad. Bad for the economy in the long run. It's terrible. We have supply chain problems. I suppose they'll never get better. Why would we believe they would? Interest rates have got to spike higher, and it's going to kill the housing market. You fill in the blanks. Retail sales are down. A little bit disappointing this month. There it is. That's the thing. We're all done. Everybody's going to crawl into a hole and die now. And those are the headlines. But let's just take retail sales as an example. Retail sales are up since February of 20, pre-pandemic. They're higher than then. What pandemic? When it comes to retail sales, that has not been a problem. But you take one headline and you blow it up into the disaster that it's not. Do you realize that even restaurants are only off 0.2%? Since pre-pandemic. We're spending money like crazy. Oh, that's right. I forgot to mention this. Credit card, if you will, what we owe on them, right? Deficits, whatever, are going down. Yeah, that's right. I know. Can't really put a disaster on that one either. That's not going to stop them because now we've got inflation. And we do. I don't want to dismiss it. I just don't want to put so much weight on it because I know what's out there, what's flying around as news or information. Some of this is transient. we are going through a phase now where supply chains are broken. Not permanently. We need more DRAMs. And don't worry, Washington, D.C. will get there in 10 or 15 years. Yeah, they'll pass legislation and puff out their chest, and the problem will be solved, of course, you know, years before they could ever even think about doing anything. They're hopeless. The world is moving too fast. Government can never do anything well. They can't process the data. The markets do. It's a very efficient mechanism. Governments are not. They're terrible. Worse than human beings. It's a mess that they create all the time. We are having inflation. We are always going to have inflation at the beginnings of reopening. We've got so much money supply out there. It's going to bust out. It already has. That's why retail sales in the middle of a pandemic, when people are theoretically unemployed by the millions, retail sales are up. We have so much money chasing goods, and we have a supply chain issue. We can't get enough goods, which means we have lots of money chasing not enough goods. Basic inflation. Some of that's transient. But we're still not dealing with the fact that money supply grew 27%. And we are paying people to stay at home. These are real problems. But the political pressure is mounting. The Fed can babble all they want. It's transient. We expect this. And it's really not. People aren't staying at home because they're making more money to stay at home. No, not at all. They just can't find jobs, except there's a record number of jobs being listed and not filled. Well, we're going to change the rules, but really we're not going to say that this is the problem, and we're not going to actually change the rules. But there's political pressure. You think people don't notice? That they don't notice that the world's on fire, the Middle East is on fire, like within 100 days of Joe getting back in office? You don't think people notice that? You don't think they notice that inflation is wildly crazy at the store, restaurants? You don't think they notice that there's 8 million jobs available and the unemployment rate rose? Yeah, they notice. So perhaps we will get some changes in this. But the bottom line is this. I'm worried about inflation long term, of course. And I'll say it again. Short term, this is not an issue. Money's going to go somewhere. And corporate profits are exploding. And they look like they're going to be exploding even more as the year unfolds. Nutty states like New York, California are opening up. You can't stop it. And when you think about it globally, you really think that India is going to disappear? Just quit watching TV if you have to. Use your head. Everywhere except India, Brazil, these different variants of the coronavirus didn't somehow get anywhere else. They're only in Brazil or South America or South Africa or in India. Yeah, they just didn't slip out anywhere. I mean, the virus did, but not the variants. They're stuck there. I mean, I get it. This is emotional, and I don't want to dismiss the fact that literally around the world, over 1 million people have died. But it's going away. Like it or don't like it, to some degree, I'm sure people that sit around their pajamas and don't have to work like it. But it's going away. And eventually, those people are going to go back to work, even if it is September. They're going back to work. In the meantime, there's a lot of money out there. We're going to solve the supply chain problems? We will. I'm sorry. Not because I have the answer. It's just they take care of themselves. That's what markets do. If you make a ton of money cutting down trees and turning it into lumber, you're probably going to do that. Just a thought. These things will change. Even nutty Canada will reopen someday. I mean, they clearly have lost their mind, and that's part of the lumber supply problem. Okay? We'll get there. They'll get there. But we act like the simplest of problems aren't even going to be solved, let alone us always solving all of our problems. We do. Have some faith. You don't have to have a ton of faith. Just some to see this for what it is. Supply chain problems, too much money. Yeah, and in the long run, inflation might be a problem. It really might. Let's keep our eye on it. And don't own bonds. Crazy. All right. Let's go to Ken. Ken, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please. Ken, are you there? Ken? Sounds like it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. All right.
Well, I'm
fire away. Thank you. Thank you for holding.
Yeah, thank you. I have income producing real estate that I'm thinking about selling. I, of course, want to extend the tax consequences as long as possible. The 1031 exchange has come to mind, and that's about as far as my knowledge of that is concerned. I did run. I have a position with Vanguard Funds. I've run my thoughts past them. They don't seem to know a heck of a lot about it, and indicated that they had no qualifying funds that would apply. And so I guess I'm kind of starting at square one this morning, and looking for some guidance on where to begin. I'm sure there are set up processes and fees and a whole bunch of things that I currently have no knowledge about, and so I'm just kind of hoping for some help this morning.
You bet. Let me give it a try. Let's start with two things, okay? Whether you should or shouldn't do that, I'll circle back to, okay? But yeah, the 1031 is a real thing. You can certainly be considering that. But there are complications to it. You really have to be careful with it. And so you are going to pay fees to get it set up. The second part of that is if you go into some kind of a pool, meaning a partnership, and you're just one of many people in this, and there's some, let's call it an apartment building in Denver, okay? You can go into that, and then you'll get some income from it, and in probably 6-7 years they'll sell it and you'll have to do it again. Now the returns on those are much lower, and certainly you're not moving from real expensive real estate into something cheap. It's expensive, you're buying expensive, and you're hoping it'll stay that way. It's simply deferring the taxes. And you're doing it for very high fees because they're going to be operating these and people don't have a lot of choices. They don't want to operate their real estate. There's a lot of money in it. And therefore, a lot of money cut out of, if you will, your returns. Okay? So that is one way. The best way is to find your own deal. Okay? But it's expensive around here. It's hard to find a good deal. And people like you are looking for them. So there's a bidding war, just like there is for houses. That's not a good deal. So you can avoid the taxes. There's a couple different avenues. And I know that's overly simplified, but you can do it.
So
I would find out, talk to an attorney first in real estate and find out how to set it up before you ever even think of listing the property, if that's what you want to do.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be expensive, but you need a consultation.
Yeah. So you can't just find a REIT mutual fund and and make some sort of a exchange into something like that?
No, it has to be a qualifying plan. And that is the second part, if you will, the syndications that I was talking about, like the Denver apartment in my example. Okay.
I understand. Yeah. So.
Okay. So no, it's not as simple as buying a, you know, a mutual fund or something like that.
It's not that simple.
So Ken, honestly, consider it from this perspective. Someday you're gonna have to pay taxes on all the depreciation.
Yes.
Get you or your heirs. You don't get to step that up. Is now the time to quit owning this property and not chasing something that's expensive? It's just a thought.
I understand. Okay. Well, I think you helped me a lot this morning.
Well, then I have done my duty for the day.
You have done your duty for today, and I thank you very much.
Ken, thank you. Have a great day.
Bye.
Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We need to take a quick break. Let's ring up the phones. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. All right, our number, let's go ahead and ring up the phones now. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. As I promised, I wanted to cover some of the basics, if you will, of investing, you know. As people, me too, forget at how glorious and amazing this thing called the stock market is. We forget in the day-to-day noise. We really do. I do too. I get, what did the market do today? Another irrelevant question. I do it too. And we talk. I'm guilty of it too. Certainly as we do the news, right? Of talking about the headlines, right? Retail sales were up this month, or, you know, and jobless claims this week, you know, like the weekly number is the driver for the whole economy of the globe. And we lose sight. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. And so when I talk about these things, they're not just things I'm glossing over. I really try to impact them again for the umpteenth time in my life. Because this stuff I know. But when we talk about it and think about it, it helps. So when we talk about the market on a one-year basis, how often is it up versus down? And we're, again, not investing for 1 year. But 2 out of 3 years are up. Actually, in modern times, it's 75% of the time. But I want to draw on these numbers, you know? And so it's really fun because this old, I don't want to give the name because then I'm supposed to give all these disclosures and it's a real pain in the rear and it's, I'm not trying to sell that fund and we don't even use it, but the best literature in the world. And they've been around since 1934. So they run all these numbers and we love it. In the last 3 years, if we just do, not last, excuse me, all rolling 3 year periods, goodness gracious, I mean, that's 84 periods. And that's year to year. But guess what happens when you run it January to January, February to February, and so on, right? And you'd have 12 times the number of data points. It's the same. 87% of the time it's up. Now, let me put it this way. Including the down and the up, the market since 1926, when they were effectively able to measure it really accurately, and before that, not as good, but same numbers. But that's a long time. We had world wars and depressions and all that stuff. Yeah, and of course, really important and difficult things like coronavirus. You know, things will never get over. Supply chain issues, all those things, you know, they'll probably never get better. And all the times we had inflation, we had terrible politics, policies were awful. I mean, remember Jimmy Carter, for gosh sakes. Joe probably looked really smart compared to him. Maybe he probably will. But we got through it. That's my point. 87% of the three-year periods were up. 93% of the five-year periods in something that has done better than everything else, losses included, gains included, all in 10%. Nothing comes close. And almost all the time, you're up. But if you go clear out to 10 years, you are up all the time. 100%. Do you remember the lost decade of 2000, right? It was a big news, right? Because we happened to, on that 10-year period for the market, obviously not this fun, from 2000 through 10, with two 50% corrections. Two of them. We managed to have a tiny loss. Just like a tiny loss. The worst one ever. And the average for your life is better than anything else. By so far, nobody could even imagine it. 10%. But I want to know what the market's doing today. I want to know if the market's too high. I don't know. Do you think Bitcoin's going to take the whole thing down? I don't know. What about that hyperinflation thing? I don't know. And those politics is terrible. I don't know. Joe could take control. We really go left and then we're really dead. I get all that. That's a great thing to worry about. Fight for. Make decent economic decisions. Let's not go the way of Venezuela and others. Let's make wise decisions. And spending trillions of dollars of my grandkids and your grandkids and their kids' money is immoral. It's not an economic decision for today. It's flat immoral. And we never thought that way before about not caring about future generations, only caring about today. I get the concerns. But we continue to solve problems and we don't think about these long-term things long-term. And we have to. We have to rise above social media, instant gratification, show me more bad news, and think longer term. Let me leave you with this before we go jump to the news. Had the neatest one-paragraph email, I mean, two-sentence email. First sentence, Dave, I thought you'd like this. Visiting with my friend, your client. This is what he sent me. Don't tell him. So cute. This is why we hire a guy with 40 years experience. The market goes down. You and I would react emotionally and want to sell, buy, or do something. He just stands there and did nothing. That's why you hire experience. And I thought about it. This isn't about me. This is about how we need to be reacting. That was a fun email, obviously, to get. But I never would have thought about it if he hadn't emailed it. It is how the adults invest. Let's be adults. All right, I got to take a quick break here for Fox News. And when we come back, I know we have a phone call. We'll be taking that. Mike, it's from Mike. And in addition, hopefully you at 580-KIDEO. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. All right, let's jump on the phones. Let's go to Mike. Mike, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
I had a question for you. I know how I was thinking about investing some money in Micron, and I just couldn't – I know that they had changed their CEO and everything, and he supposedly was going to be doing a lot of things to drive this stock up and please the shareholders. But I don't know. I don't know what's going on right now. I figure them being a chip maker and with the supplies out there being negligible, that any ideas?
Well, I hate to be sitting around touting an individual stock, especially one that's as volatile as Micron.
Yes.
But they certainly are on the cutting edge of technology, and in a chip shortage, that shines on them. It's good for them. It's good for pricing. But at the same time, there's obviously supply chain issues for them.
Yeah.
They're not getting as much silicon in and wafers that they are working with. But I think they'll solve that issue, as will the entire supply chain will fix it over time. But they're also very involved in the specialty chips in the DRAM space, which is really goes mostly into cars. So I would suggest they're doing very well in that particular area. As far as Micron overall, different company, no doubt. It's very global. It's being operated out of California, not out of Boise. We have a fab here and testing facility and R&D. It's a great facility. But they're actually, their headquarters now is being run out of California.
So that's where their
it's a different group.
Different
take on things. But I it's very high risk. It's a high risk stock. But full disclosure, I own some, and I own a fair amount. But I've also trimmed my position as it's gone from, honestly, $4 or $5, clear on up here to $80, $90.
Yes, yeah, because I was looking at it originally. It was in the high mid-90s, and it just keeps on dropping. And I saw I think it's down below 80 now. And I just, like I said, I own some Intel. And so what is the whole problem? They just don't get the material to be able to make the chips? Is that what it is?
That's part of it. It's also the demand on the other side. There just is too. We're buying so many cars, they can't keep up.
Oh, okay.
It's not just cars, but I'm just using that as the obvious example that everybody talks about, shutting down General Motors, Ford plants, and so on, because they don't have enough chips.
Yeah. Now, so the Micron specialty is for automobiles, their chips and stuff like that.
They have a number of them. I'm sure they aren't just limited to automobiles. I just know that they're very big in that space.
Okay.
Have been for a lot of years now.
Oh, hey, very good. I appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And I do want to also further state on that, just to be, maybe overstating the obvious, but that's a small part of their business. The general DRAMs that go into computers and servers and all those things, into the cloud, if you will, are the biggest driver of their cash flow and profitability. But it's not zero in the specialty chips either, for sure. All right, let's go ahead and grab another call here. Let's go to Terry. Terry, thanks for calling.
Well, good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Terry.
You sound a tad subdued today.
I do.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just my old ears. But I came up with something fun for you to do, and I was looking for a Puccini aria that I had a tune in my head and couldn't get unstuck, and stumbled across a bunch of pages of quotes by Bernard Baruch.
Oh, okay.
It's either 10 minutes or 2 hours, depending on how caught up in it you get.
I can imagine.
But the first one that goes along with the way your style of investing, don't buy at the bottom, don't sell at the top. It can't be done except by liars.
Yeah, that's a good quote.
That is a good quote. Another one, we were talking about the overload of information. Is that the information cannot serve as an effective substitute for thinking.
Boy, do we ever suffer from that now. That is such a great quote.
You know, the right now thing of Jim reference back to Tom and Erica talking about it, we have to have it immediately. No delayed gratification involved in anything we do anymore.
No, and I think we suffer greatly by that. I don't think it's good for us. We think shorter and shorter, live longer and longer lives, but don't find any real substance to it, I guess. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like we're doing well. A lot of depression out there. People aren't really happy and always looking for what's wrong.
Well, and it's our job to go out there and find a little fun and force that onto other people if they want to or not. Just try to get a smile. This maps thing is going to work with that too, because you actually see somebody smiling and it's infectious.
Yeah, so, you're right. I it's one of those things too. You notice from time to time when you make eye contact with somebody in a mask, right? And you can tell they're smiling, you know.
Well, that's
but
I'm so
to see that whole Bucks face light up is going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm so thankful the Bucks bags, when I went down and first got my first mask, was that smiley face one. And it just, people see that, and you can see their eyes crinkle. Even, you know, they're smiling underneath their own mask, saying, yeah, here's how we go about this stuff.
Yeah. It's true. No, I think you're right. It's going to be nice, and it's a welcome thing. It's another reason to go out, another reason to enjoy people. We're opening again.
Yep. As a matter of fact, again, throw another shameless plug out there. I'm going to go to Barbecue for Life and have just a wonderful cheeseburger later in the day after I get done with my other first world problems here. So
that's good. That's good. Well, you keep up that really good diet, okay?
Diet? Nah. I have the body of a god, Buddha.
I know. Why? You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. No, Buddha. You know, all round.
Yeah,
holy,
that's right.
And
there you go.
Anyway, well, you take care, David, and have fun. Go hit some long drives.
All right. I'm going to go play with my grandchildren this afternoon. So.
Oh, lucky devil. All right. Yep.
All right.
Take care, David.
Thanks, Terry.
All right. Bye.
Have an awesome day. Our number is 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I think what we'll do is grab our last break here, get it out of the way, and we'll have plenty of time to take your calls. So do ring it up, and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. And our number, 580-KIDO. If you have any comments, questions, you want to hear something again, go to our website, PetsoFinancial.com. We also have calculators and articles to help you with your financial planning. Links to a YouTube type of, just a quick little video discussion that I did on equity indexed annuities and why they don't work. And that way we don't have to talk as much about it here. I don't know, you don't want me lambasting them all the time, and we get so many questions. So refer there, and if you have any other questions, don't hesitate to call us. We tried to make it short enough, interesting enough, basic enough for a super complex product that we can basically understand it. So give it a look. Also on our YouTube channel, we've got lots of things there and lots more coming. So stay tuned. We'll get that information to you. Right now, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Let's go to Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So with the current state of the dollar, Zan, where would you, because I'm kind of concerned about where we're headed with the dollar. So I'm just looking, trying to figure out a way to, I've got enough physical metals that I don't want any more, just because they're bulky, and so I'm trying to think of another way to invest money.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to come back to this because I have lived through super high inflation periods. I've heard the doomsday reports on the U.S. dollar for 40 years. And yeah, we overspend, and this $1 trillion thing is a mess. It's beyond idiotic. In my mind, it's immoral to spend away our grandchildren's future. It's not the way we should be acting. So don't get me wrong. It's a concern, and we continue to devalue the dollar. I continue to be a non-believer in gold. It can't do anything. It cannot become more productive. It sits like a lump. It returns nothing. And when I got in the industry in 1980, gold was at $800 an ounce, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average was at 800. Little difference today. Gold's barely doubled. And obviously the Dow is at 35,000 plus. It's a big difference.
Okay.
And that doesn't even include dividends. So we can continue to look at the devastating dollar, let those folks continue to impact our thinking. Or you can invest in corporations that can keep up with inflation and become more productive, because that's exactly what they've done. Now, it's not all companies, but if you don't have a belief in the economic system, then I understand that's held people back for decades. But there isn't anywhere that in my mind that is stronger than gold if you're looking for devaluing of currency. People will argue about Bitcoin, but I don't understand how a non-currency can have any real currency value.
Okay. Well, I'm not looking for crypto yet, but the thing that's got me concerned is that we've never borrowed like this before either. So we're past the point of no return. You won't be able to pay it back. So something has to give. And so when the dollar is the trading vehicle for everything that we conduct business on, everything goes. What do you do? If your dollar is, what's going to replace it? Are we going to get a 20-for-1 or some kind of, because it's backed by nothing. You know, you talk about Bitcoin being backed by nothing. The dollar has nothing. The Federal Reserve has nothing other than a big printing press that they just add numbers to. It's just an entry of a number.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what's got me concerned. We value the dollar because that's the only thing we have, you know, that we think is of value. But at the rate we're going, inflation is saying, hey, you know what? It's a great equalizer. Your dollar's worthless. It's going to take more to buy. We've seen in other countries where this devaluation has gone to the point of destroying, you know, a country.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm
yeah.
just yeah. curious where what your thoughts were, and I listen to you quite a lot. I do disagree with you on the precious metals end because, you know, I too started in the 80s. And I bought silver at $4 an ounce. Obviously, it's gone up. You know, there have been times to sell, been times to you know, you can play the market a little bit. I haven't done that much playing the market. I've kind of held on because the precious metals that I chose are more on the printing side of it, the mint side of it, the coins and stuff that, you know, have value there. But it is concerning because I never bought into a doomsday scenario. What I have is logic says that if you continue to print money, something's going to give. And where we're talking trillions and these people that run this country, they can't even count. If they understood how much a trillion dollars is, I mean they just come up with a number, and then they pork it out to everybody. And it's you know, it cheapens everything. Education is cheap in the sense that everybody's got an education now, a higher education, and now they're going to give it away for free. So see what we're doing to ourselves?
I do, but we can't. History says don't live in fear. We will solve our problems,
fear,
and we did
me.
In the 1980s, and everybody said that we were not going to make it. Through the 70s into the 80s.
That.
And you remember Ross Perot talking about the deficits. Look, I'm not
sure.
A proponent of deficits. I'm a proponent of a strong dollar and reasonable fiscal responsibility. But if we just want to worry about the collapse of the dollar, then that's how you'll invest. I can't fix that. I can't change that. I can't give you a different thing than gold or silver. I can say that corporations have become more productive and done very well over time, way better than anything else, in spite of our ridiculous policies. Now, can that come to an end? Of course it can. I still don't know what I'm going to do with my gold. But as far as the U.S. being a reserve currency in the world, I think it will still be. I don't have any idea why people would trust China. Europe is a basket case. I don't know what you come up with. Okay? Anyway, thank you for your call. I appreciate it very much.
You bet. You bet.
Bye. And we are just about out of time today. I do want to again mention to people that we do have a tremendous historic message over at our YouTube channel. It's called Dow 30,000. And I highly recommend it just as a historic walk from 1980 to today and where we are and what that really means to receive dividends reinvested over time. It's not just a little difference. It's a big difference. Let's keep our minds open and keep our eyes on that inflation, but don't let it drive you out. Everybody have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you next week.